Hi everyone, we are the Gooders, people who do good. We help people dealing with life challenges and empower them to help others. Today, we are hosting Dr. Jennifer Davis, clinical psychologist that specializes in trauma. So thank you for being with us, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by CirclesUp.com, the go-to place for life challenges like grief, divorce, separation, and more. In every episode, we speak with an inspiring person who moderates an audio chat room for people dealing with the same life challenge. We will tell their story and the story of the members of their groups. So today we are going to talk both about grief and divorce. As we speak, 75 million Americans experienced grief in the last 5 years and dealing with it, and 1.3 million Americans went through a divorce just in the last year. So a lot of people are dealing with those life crises. So thank you for being with us, Jennifer, and we would love to hear your story.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for having me. So it's been several years since I got divorced, but I always say, and I know we're going to kind of come back to this, I wish Circles had been around when I went through my divorce, because it was just such a lonely and isolating time for me. So I had been married for 7 years and we had 3 children together. I also had like a bonus stepdaughter from his first marriage. And my first husband struggled with some mental health issues, you know, depression, things like that. And through the course of our marriage, it just got worse and worse. One day he just left. He just left, walked out of our house, walked out of our marriage, walked out of our family, walked out of our children's lives. He was gone for over a week. Nobody had any idea where he was at. It was probably one of the worst weeks of my life because I didn't know if we were going to find him dead or alive or where he was at. We did eventually locate him. We, at the time, were living in Ohio. He was located in a completely different state, in Florida, in a psychiatric hospital after a pretty violent suicide attempt. So we kind of navigated for the next year after that, like what that looked like, trying to get him treatment, trying to put our family back together. And then towards the end of that year, it just became apparent that there were things in his life that he just could not move past, some addictions that moved beyond, you know, like alcohol or, you know, mental health issues that made it really unsafe to have him in the home with our children. So at that point, I had to make the really hard decision to file for a divorce. And also, our divorce was a little complicated in the sense that he had already left our home, did not want to come back to our home, could not come back to our home for the safety of our children. So I also had to get like an order of protection out. I remember during that time, like not only was I grieving the loss of my marriage, this person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, our youngest at that time wasn't even 3 years old. So she was like, actually, I don't even think she was 2 at the time. So she was like 1, 1.5. So I was trying to raise, you know, essentially a toddler and then her brother next to her. They're only 21 months apart. So I was raising 2 toddlers and then their older brother is 5 years. So I was trying to raise, he's 5 years older, sorry. So I was trying to raise him and then also navigate the complexities of my husband at the time, his first wife and her trying to understand everything that was going on and trying to navigate that with her and my stepdaughter. And I remember there was so much shame attached to it because for personal reasons, I didn't want to like just broadcast basically for my kids, their entire life story to everybody. And I remember during that time that people would come to me and they would like, you know, everyone gave me advice, whether I wanted it or not, everyone just gave me advice. Some of it was useful, probably 95% of it was not useful at all. But I really had to like take the time to kind of shift through everything that everyone was telling me, you know, and everybody had an opinion from my friends to my family, to my coworkers. You know, so I was trying to shift through this all by myself. I was feeling so much grief. I was feeling so much guilt for even getting a divorce because, our like religious beliefs really frowned down upon divorce. And so I felt like, you know, was I giving up? But I knew I wasn't. I knew it was the right decision for me and more so the right decision for my children. But it was terrible. It was an awful time. Our divorce took a really long time. It took like 2.5 years to finalize the whole process too. So it wasn't like we just filed and went to court and we're done with it. So it was a really long drawn out court battle that we had to go through. And it was, I mean, I know I keep saying this, but it really was, it was terrible. And it was so isolating. It was, you know, like I said, for many reasons, I didn't want to just divulge every bit of information, every piece of, you know, detail that we were going through. I learned pretty quickly that people sometimes genuinely just want to know because they're nosy, not because they genuinely want to help or be there to offer support. So that was really hard for me too. And I mean, looking back, it's what's made me such a great facilitator. It's what's made me, you know, it's given me the ability to really connect with the people in my divorce and my grief groups. But yeah, it was a pretty awful time in my life.
Wow. And a long time, like 2.5 years, it's a long time.
So from the time that he actually left to the time that we filed for divorce, it was over 3.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't interrupt you. I think that's something a lot of times people don't understand. You know, people think if you make a decision to get divorced, it's just this, not like easy, but it's like this rather quick process. You get divorced, you know, separate items in your home, you separate child support and visitation if you have children and custody, and then you're just done. And in a lot of cases, and truthfully, I didn't even realize this until I became a facilitator at Circles, that that's not the case for at least 60 or 70% of people. Like most people do not have just a quick, easy divorce.
Yeah. Wow. Can you go back to a moment where you, like, if you can remember, like the moment that you realize that your life has changed and nobody can get, or at least most of the people don't understand what you're going through.
Yeah, actually, I can remember it very vividly. It was one evening. I had just finished putting all the kids to bed. I had just had a very long, drawn-out conversation with my lawyer about the upcoming court date for the no-contact order that I needed to take out against my, at that time, estranged husband. But, you know, and I remember going into my bathroom because with three kids in my house, there was very little space that I could go to like cry without them being there. And my family, like my whole family lived in a different state. And it was obviously my kids were asleep at night. So I couldn't like, just like leave the house, you know? So I went into the bathroom and just cried and screamed and said all sorts of very explicit words that I won't say on your podcast. And I remember thinking like, this is my life right now. This is my life and nobody understands it and nobody is going to be able to understand it. And I'm alone. Like I remember just that feeling of just feeling so alone in that moment.
Wow.
It was, yeah. I distinctly remember that moment. I can tell you, like, I'm a person, I have a terrible memory, but I can tell you everything about that moment.
Wow, it's like, it sounds so, such a lonely experience. Like, that's, like, the only, like, you're alone in the world with so much responsibility as well. Like, the children are in the other room, so there's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, and when my husband left, I was actually primarily a stay-at-home mom. I worked sort of part-time. And so I also had, you know, like the extra added like financial stress because when he left, he took essentially our life savings. So I was trying to like figure out how to make ends meet. And I mean, lucky in that sense, I had a family that was very supportive and was able to come alongside me and help out with that. But I was also trying to figure out like my children were homeschooled and obviously that was not going to be able to continue. So I had to transfer them to us, you know, to a school setting to try to find a full-time job. And like, yeah, there was a lot going on that, you know, even people that had walked through some parts of a divorce, like my friends that had been divorced, their divorces had really more just been like the simple, easy, like, we just don't get along. We've just kind of decided, you know, on amicable terms to separate and end our marriage. And So yeah, it was extremely lonely for me.
Yeah. No, so moving forward, there was this point in time when you realized that you want to help others, or that helping, that you can help others. Can you remember that point in time?
I don't know if it was like one singular point, honestly. I think it was as I watched myself like walk through hell, literal, it was, I always call it hell on earth. It was terrible for me, but watching how hard I had to fight to maintain like my mental and emotional health, and also looking at my ever-changing role as like a mother and a therapist and a, you know, a stay-at-home mom thrust back into the workforce before she had planned on it, and like all these other things, I know how hard I had to fight for that. But I also remember, you know, at different points, I would look back and I would say, wow, well, I'm better than I was like a month ago. Like I went for a run 3 times this week. Like I prioritized self-care. Or I remember during one session, and this was probably about 2 years post-divorce. I was in a therapy session with my therapist, and I was complaining about like, you know, just something that was going on with my child at school. And I was like, you know, he's just like not paying attention, not turning in work. And she turned to me and she said, Jennifer, you do realize these are very like typical age appropriate behaviors that you're talking about. She said, you do realize like you guys have moved past the trauma of everything that happened. And it was like this light bulb that went on of like, and I just started bawling in that therapy session. Like, oh my gosh, we made it. Like we got through it, you know? And it, throughout the course of my entire divorce process and afterwards, I always had people that would come up to me and they would say, you know, like, I watched you, you stayed strong through all this. Like for me, my faith is very important to me. So they said, you know, you didn't lose your faith through this, but you know, you were very real. Like, how did you do that? And so I was just telling my story little by little to people that were asking. And I had randomly all these women that like friends would introduce me to, or colleagues would say, hey, I think you need to talk to my friend, you know, she's considering a divorce or she's getting divorced. And, you know, I would just share my story with them. And I realized more and more, like, that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to sit in a place with people and just be there for them. And so that's kind of what led me to Circles. Wow. Yeah.
And now you're leading rooms at Circles. To divorce people. And can you share with us one or two members that pops in mind, their story, and what do you think they got out of being part of the group of people that are going through a divorce?
Yeah, so I actually have a group that, so I do the voice rooms and like the groups, and I have members that have been a part of my groups for going on like 6 or 7 months now of my divorce groups. And I remember we have this one member that the first group, actually, I think the first like 3 or 4 groups, all she did was cry. She just cried the whole group. And she like, she kept apologizing and kept apologizing. And the entire group kept saying to her, this is a place to cry. Like, we don't care if you never get your story out and you just need to come here every week for an hour and cry. We're okay with that. And it was like, watching her just be validated that it was okay to not be okay. I mean, now she's one of the most talkative members in the group. Like if for some reason there's a new member, you know, that pops in, she'll be the first to say like, hey, we're here for you. Like, you know, I'm like, tells her story of how she just cried the first, like several, like almost the whole first month she was with Circles. And also just watching how she's blooming in her life, you know, and like, you know, the Circles members have a chance to like chat. They have like apps where we can chat, and it never fails. Like throughout the week, she'll be like, hey, I saw this, or, you know, I was thinking about you guys, or I took the dog for a walk. Like, she's just genuinely becoming like the really best version of herself. And Circles plays a small part in it. I always say like, we're, you know, a tool on the journey, but she's like, if it wasn't for Circles, I don't know where I'd be. She's like, I would probably still be in my bedroom crying all the time because you guys understood. And not only did she say that we understood, we just allowed her to be her. We weren't trying to fix it for her. We weren't trying to give her advice about her divorce. She was also dealing with some grief issues too. She had lost her dad shortly before her partner asked for divorce. And so, you know, it's just been really beautiful just watching her sort of bloom throughout our time together.
That's like literally lives are changing, right?
Right. And then I even have like another member I was thinking about in one of my other divorce groups where her and her wife got divorced, and they got divorced while she was pregnant, and it was their first child together and her first child as well. Mm-hmm. And so now the baby is a few months old, and usually she has the baby on our sessions because the baby's awake during that time. And so she'll be like, you know, like feeding the baby or kind of like rocking the baby or whatnot. And recently her daughter got sick, and she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, she's not sleeping. She's like all this stuff. And all the other group members, their children are a little bit older or much older. And so they were all like, became like these all like you know, family members, like, okay, well, you know, when you're nursing, here's what you need to do because your breast milk actually changes throughout the day. And that could be why she's not sleeping. And, you know, you need to try that. And like the next week she came and she was like, just like in tears of gratitude. She's like, we finally slept this week. And she's like, I don't know why no one else tells me this, you know? And she was, for her, she said, you know, a lot of her friends don't have kids. So that her and her wife are one of the few in their like friendship circle to have a child. And so she really didn't have people to reach out to. She has like a mommy and me group, but she couldn't go that week because obviously her daughter wasn't feeling well. And she's like, and the pediatrician just kept sending me like random things. And so I think it's cool because circles just offer support in so many different ways too, you know?
Yeah, I think like my takeaways from the two stories is that it's about human connection, right? It's about having a safe place with people that care about you and a meaningful connection between people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then like the segue or the entry point could be grief, could be divorce. But once people are connecting, then all the life events comes into the group and we are covered.
Yeah, I have a voice room that I do for grief and healing. And I have people that are dealing with like traditional grief from someone passing. I have people that are dealing with grief over the loss of a job. I have people that are dealing with grief and healing over physical ailments or emotional ailments, you know, mental health things. Like, and it's so cool just to watch all of them get on this like voice room every week and just connect on, you know, totally different stories, totally different people, but they all find a way to just show up and be there for each other.
Jennifer, that's amazing. Amazing. Like the journey that you did, it's like outstanding. And I think it's an inspiration for a lot of people. Thank you for supporting people. Thank you for being in this podcast and inspiring us, listeners. And yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.